You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. With your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV.
And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers podcast online since 1999. I am your host for tonight, J.D. I am joined by our awesome crew. We've got Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum, Rob, XV, and John. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. So Kilby's not here right now. He's normally the host. but he'll be here maybe in a little bit. But we decided, hey, we're going to go ahead and do the show. So there you go.
At least five times more capable than Brian Kilby.
Yes. Well, at least you are, XV. Not really. So, anyway.
Hey.
Sorry.
Zing.
He does his own show. He's awesome. So, yeah.
Well, that's because nobody else would do it.
But somebody has to do it.
Somebody has to
be a Sentai
nobody
show.
Nobody else should have to do my show.
The world needs a Sentai show.
Yeah. Of which, I just love it again, because when everybody hears that, they're like, really? With the tentacles? No. This is like the people that power up.
Oh.
Like, with the tentacles?
No.
At least you're not talking about them side by side.
With the tentacles?
Spandex.
For the comparison. So, welcome, of course, to our live audience joining us live. And tell me what you think of the new goatee.
In case you didn't know, this is a Transformers podcast.
Did your face
it is a Transformers podcast, huh?
It's very Metallica-esque.
Yes, thank you. One of my coworkers referred to it as my BA goatee. So,
ah, yes.
You got your James Hetfield going on, sir.
Yeah.
On you.
You're going to go around screaming, yeah.
Reality yeah. is, I've started to become a big fan of Secret Six, and Floyd Lawton, a.k.a. Deadshot, has a goatee like this. So, Superhero Time is one of our other shows, but another show that we have is Fanboy Versus, and that's the show that I do, which is all comic books. You should listen to that on Sundays. Anyway, let's talk about Transformers.
It has Chris McFeely, which means it doesn't matter what the show is about. You should just listen to it.
Yes, because we love Chris McFeely. Lots of people love Chris McFeely.
It's the accent.
It is. It's.
I should do a show with him.
You should. Whatever topic, it doesn't matter. Just pick one.
Well, Rob, you should do a show with anyone because you don't have the accent, but you're basically our other Chris McFeely.
You're the American version of Chris McFeely.
So we can be like party on, like, you know, Wonder Twin powers activate, form of drunk.
Yes. Power of lush. Form.
Fucking hell.
Okay. Well, I guess let's see. Well, we've got all kinds of awesome stuff. Let's just get into it. We got tons of Transformers news. We'll get it rolling here. First up, we have voice actors announced for Transformers Prime.
Boy, do we.
You probably know this whole article better than me. What's going on?
The government done took my baby.
So, wait, who are you talking
I thought that was going to be the next thing we got.
Peter, go.
Oh, yeah, so basically main characters have been announced. So we have, obviously, for the Autobots, we have Optimus Prime, voiced by Peter Cullen. RC is Somali Montemp.
I bet,
sure.
Bulkhead, Kevin Michael Richardson. Ratchet, Jeffrey Combs, who has been rumored multiple times already. And there goes Rob's chest. Bumblebee was not named, although there was a rumor that it was Josh Keaton. And the spoiler, I guess the real surprise one, is Cliffjumper, which is voiced by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Excellent.
Yes.
And then for the Decepticons, you obviously have Frank Welker as Megatron. Breakdown is voiced by Adam Baldwin.
Wow.
As far as we know, that would be Adam Baldwin of Firefly and Chuck fame.
Hopefully not. I hope it's like the Lost Baldwin brother.
The Lost Baldwin brother. Knockout is Darren Norris, probably no relation to Chuck Norris. Starscream is Steve Blum, who announced that he was voicing Starscream this past weekend. And Soundwave is unknown at this point.
You didn't see? It was just reported Stone Cold Steve Austin's going to be Soundwave.
it should be Terry Crews. That's who
I just looked up. RC's voice actor is actually Sumali Montano. Somebody typoed that one.
Tano.
But you still don't know who she is because all she really does is like guest spots on TV shows.
Fair enough.
Well, that's great. Nobody cares.
Who's Marky Post going to be?
June.
Soundwave.
A girl Marky named Post. June. So for the humans, it's Jack, which is Josh Keaton, who's also rumored to be Bumblebee. Miko is Tania Gunati, who is, I think, either a Disney or Nickelodeon kid. Rafe, I don't know. Andy Pessoa, June is Marky Post, and an Agent Flower. That's a very terrible.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because who is it, Peter?
Oh, man.
Ernie Hudson. So it's
yes!
Wow. Yeah.
Ernie Hudson is awesome.
Who's Ernie Hudson?
Who's Ernie Hudson?
Get up out of here.
That guy
right
everybody
now.
Thought was dead.
He's the he's Winston on Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It's ooh.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's like, right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Pay is good. I'll believe whatever you say.
I've met him in person.
Actors.
I met him in person. Really, Ernie Hudson needs to come to BotCon. This must happen. He is.
I do know. Oh man, that would be sweet. I'm actually not completely turned off by this. It's a little Hollywoody, but
I don't mind Hollywoody casts.
I'm not surprised because Hasbro is throwing a holy crap load of money into this network. So. They're obviously their trademark show. One of their trademark shows is going to get some pretty high profile actors. Right?
So,
and that way you can market it so much better, you know?
Which it makes me wonder, though, how much these characters are going to appear, though. I mean, Baldwin, I can see him being on all the time. I mean, he doesn't have any series or anything going right now, I don't think.
Who?
Adam Baldwin. He's not a Baldwin. I was totally confused. So
he's on Chuck.
Is he regular on that series?
Yeah.
Chuck, I thought it got canceled. Is it still on?
No, they saved it. They Jericho'd it, but
why did they do that?
They did the Save Chuck campaign, and they got it on there, and now it's back again. It's like
I'm still amazed by the ability of a minority of people to get a show saved, but yeah. Whatever.
I mean, it's a good show.
Never be surprised by how many
people. When that happens, it's a matter of the studios want to keep doing the show. So if there's a fan outcry, it gives them motivation to risk a little bit more on it.
And what they just keep doing is, let me take out my Nokia N970 phone.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's pretty much
the deal. Got really bad about that at the end. It was like cars and phones, and even in the beginning, I guess. The whole Nissan Versa thing for the first season, but. Yeah. Back to Transformers though. But I'm not completely turned off by this. This
looks fun.
Yeah, I think it can be interesting. I mean, it's
I foresee something fun happening in the future. Remember about 2000 when the whole fandom was a roar over the whoever snuck the Decepticon poster board into Raw and held it up in front of the camera?
Yes.
That
was awesome.
I'm seeing The Rock one day appearing on Wrestling United, you know, do the celebrity guest host things, and occasionally The Rock appears on Wrestling anyway because he's like, this is where I started, you know, hi, I'm The Rock. Just imagine it come out and then like a Cliff Jumper billboard.
Yeah,
that will be me. Cliff Jumper. Cliff Jumper.
So, there's a Transformers Prime novelization preview, which sounds like a preview of a preview, but whatever.
it is
not the first
yeah, it's
time
the
something
search
like that
inside.
Is
happening. No, we get that all the time. But apparently there's a story about Cliff Jumper and RC. I guess.
They have a most excellent journey.
They do.
They probably go into a phone booth.
Do they travel through time and bring like Nova Prime and A3 back and give a report.
They have a they bring Alpha Trion guys, and Alpha Trion is really, really knowledgeable, and he talks to everyone for a second, and then he just blows all the hell by going, "Party on, dudes!"
Oh, I missed Carlin. Anyway,
doesn't everybody?
Yeah, yeah, they should. They should. Anyway, go see Aristocrats. Anyway, Transformers Prime is going to have a toy line. Like, is this shocking? I don't know.
No.
It's just we haven't seen the toy, right?
Because Hasbro didn't really talk about the plans for a toy line.
You know, I'm kind of – I have to, like, backtrack because when we were – post-BotCon, we were talking about Prime. And we were complaining that there weren't any figure images out. And so the suspicion was is that at Comic-Con they would show figures. And they didn't. So we
they did – well, they don't. They did jack squat at Comic-Con.
I was amazed. I thought they would do more. But
holy crap. Well, they just – they. I mean, I guess they saved it up for all those Chinese.
I guess I guess Hasbro themselves are like too scared to say – or at least don't think it's a good idea to say, there's toys, but it's probably not going to come out toward the end of 2011 at least.
Well, I mean, it has to now because film's going to be out, what, next summer?
We have the next couple of seasons planned out. I mean, you find a time for a toy line to next pop up.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Although I guess Hasbro really enjoys the fact that they have this kind of dilemma. Do I put out this toy line or this toy line? I mean, it's a pretty sweet dilemma.
Yeah.
It's not a dilemma. Yeah. It's not like, oh no, I don't have any toys to put out. Now it's like, I have too many toys to put out.
We don't want to saturate the market. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's a good thing. It's just kind of, it's just, I just feel the same thing that happened to like animated when, you know, we got the toys so late, and then it was like staggered, and then the toy line stagnated. But I don't know. And then that's we didn't end up getting stuff like Blackout.
Yeah.
But whatever. And anyway, it's going to air in the primetime block from 3 to 6 p.m. I'm assuming that's Eastern. So
well, I think it's local time. I don't think it. Or maybe actually probably would be East. Well.
It's probably going to be
usually it's Eastern. Time.
Not everybody lives in the Eastern time zone.
Well, really? No, I was thinking about it because it'll probably. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to air it at noon on the West Coast.
No,
kids won't be home. So yeah, but even, I'm assuming that it's like, you know, three.
Well, West Coast is always is typically adjusted, though. I mean, typically it's they.
Yeah,
they
it's have a late completely start. Different. Also, so these like, days with DVR. It doesn't matter as much.
No, not as much as it used to.
What if the parent doesn't let the kid use the DVR?
Well, then they're lame.
The kid is the only one who knows how to use the DVR.
Yeah, this is.
What is the DVR that hard? In? Is it like recording stuff using a VCR? Is it that bad?
It doesn't matter. People are stupid.
Yeah, I
don't know about you guys, but I foresee a lot of next day at work on YouTube, like eating my lunch. Oh, that's what happened last night. Oh.
Yeah, it sounds like a productive day.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we take breaks. We'll watch some videos. My boss is you'll hear Barney Miller come floating through, and he's like, yeah, we take a break, watch a little video or something, get back to work.
Nice.
Let's see. War for Cybertron map and character pack is out. Is this on Xbox Live, or I guess I'm assuming it's on PS3 as well?
Xbox and PS3. Nope.
So, Zeta Prime and Dead End.
Ooh, Dead End. Dead End and a zombie.
Yo, Dead End?
Dead End.
No, I don't have it. I don't have it. I need to get this game. Well, yeah, it's $30 yet.
I haven't even bought the first download DLC yet.
I'm going to buy like the DS version on Amazon because it's like $14 now, and I'll be happy. And everyone's like, it sucks. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. It's going to be a super pack for it. That'll be like the game and then plus like three DLCs for it that'll come out for like $40 and then I'll buy it.
Yeah.
It's going to be put on clearance. It'll be fine.
Okay.
At least by next summer when this thing called TF3 comes out and they're like, yeah, all that other crap, just shove it right in the closet.
Buy it.
Clear it out.
The door.
Send it.
Yes.
All right. Here comes the money.
So Transformers 3 is going to be wrapping in 6 weeks.
Says Don Murphy.
So says Don Murphy. And I would say that he's about as connected to the production as we are.
Yes.
So we'll see how that goes.
Well, yeah, because oddly enough,
thing to these films anymore, I sort of get the feeling it's like a horse that he like purchased and raised for a little while and then sold. And he's just like,
sold.
You know what I mean?
Done.
Well, now, is this just principal photography that's wrapping up in 6 weeks or everything?
Yeah. Principal photography.
It's got to be photography because...
Yeah. Okay, so they're still going to have months and months to film like extra explosions and sunsets.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But then again, Bay earlier in, like back in May, said that they're going to film overseas as well in Africa, China, and Moscow.
Sure.
They have not done yet. So whether or not he's lying
going
to us,
happen.
It might not happen. It probably won't. I probably got lied to.
Usually second unit and special effects stuff is pretty much finished the day the film gets sent out to theaters.
Yeah.
So they may true. Have like,
especially on a high quality production such as this.
Yeah, generally they may have be done with Shia and Bag of Hangers kissing and running for explosion. But they still got to film Jesh Dumel calling his wife or something.
Right. They do that while Linkin Park is recording the new song.
Linkin Park! I'm Optimus Prime. And this is a whiny, annoying song that should have been died out 10 years ago.
Sorry. But we do... I mean, I don't know if I want to call it a full retraction because there's still some debate, but there's some discussion about whether or not the film actually cost $400 million to make. I'm going to err on the side of that sounds really high to me based on the production cost of the other films and what Bay typically makes a film for. But, yeah, we'll see.
I mean, Bay sounds pretty upset about it.
I would be, too. I mean, especially because that's the thing. I mean, you know, say you want about Michael Bay, but he typically is pretty good with budget for film. I mean, that's part of the reason why the first two films were so successful is because he was able to produce them with a low production budget.
Right. Yeah. He spent virtually nothing on these.
Yeah. Movies. And made hundreds of millions of dollars for the studios in that way. That's why they're, you know, wanting to pump them out so fast because he's able to make them in a cost-effective way. $400 million just sounds insane. I mean,
he's basically Ed Wood with a budget.
Yeah, with like a real budget, but not a crazy budget. So,
yeah,
you know.
Even Avatar didn't cost that much, and that movie took like 90 billion years to make.
That's because Avatar didn't have Snickers bars.
I don't know, and this is maybe doing the same thing on the other side. The rumor is that Avatar actually did cost more, but Cameron didn't factor in all of the money that he put into it. So I don't know. Take that as you will, grain of salt. That's my
but oh well.
And they weren't driving Chevys on that planet, them Navi.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like they had a lot of sets either. I mean, it was all blue screen and then pretty mostly done in post. So
now, if that was an HP robot they used to beat up the Navi people, could have come in under budget.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Movie wasn't worth it anyway. But anyway.
No, God.
The only thing that made it worthwhile was the 3D. So,
I still feel robbed, and it's been about 6 months since I watched it. Like, really? This?
Yeah.
So, the movie that needs to be hailed for its use of 3D is Piranha.
No, I've heard it's amazing.
It is amazing. I loved it.
Hey!
Everybody that may be familiar.
Just sneaks into the room here.
I've been here for like 5 minutes.
I know he has.
Yeah, I know. I saw him come in.
The team viewer dropped, so yeah, I knew that.
What define 3D movies, guys? Friday the 13th, 3D. Hello.
Dude.
The snake came right at the camera.
It's anaglyph.
I heard a snake comes at the camera in Piranha 3D, too.
Yeah, but Jason. Okay. Jason outrules.
I think it's a different snake. Anyway, Brian, do you want to take this over, or do you want me to keep
no,
rolling?
No, sir. Keep going. It's awesome. I'm not here next week, so get in some practice.
Might as well. You know, cut my teeth on this. So earlier this week, So earlier this week, I just about peed my pants because I pulled up a story for Grimstone Man Wants. So some pictures showed up of this. This is a new Power Core combiner set with dinosaurs
and a Pope hat.
Oh. Yes.
This is Titus.
Awesome. This figure looks really awesome. I mean, man.
At this point, if you don't like Power Core combiners when you see this, just go ahead and don't say it. We know you don't. Okay?
Right. Get it. Just be quiet because let's enjoy the awesome that will be the closest thing we'll ever have to like a true Dino King-ish thing. So.
Dino King itself.
Aside from the Dino King, but even that isn't what we wanted it to be.
5 years.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine the repaints, guys. Dino King. No, let's stop going to obvious. Hasbro likes to mix up the Scout with the drones. Are we seeing monster trucks with dinosaur parts? Anybody?
What we need is a Cadillac Power Core combiner Scout. So we have the Cadillacs and dinosaurs. Power
XV.
Awesome.
I like how you think, sir.
So I'm going to mention this just because it seems weird to me. We've talked a lot about these fan project or alternate toy lines, and I think the consensus here is typically that we're not necessarily huge fans of them. It depends on what it is. I mean, some of the add-on kits are nice. Here's the thing that's weird about this. So they've announced the new Shadow Scyther, which is a...
Isn't that a Pokemon?
That's what I thought. But
it sounds like it, doesn't it?
It does. I
think it is.
But here's the thing that bugs the crap out of me. So this is based on the upgrade kit for Hot Rodimus to make him more of a Rodimus Prime style. But that isn't even out yet. So they already have like the repaint version like coming out and set, and they're not even done with what thing was supposed to be originally.
Well, you can't even pre-order that one yet.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Protector itself is not available even for pre-order, but the repaint is.
Yeah.
Hell, the last time we saw him, he wasn't even colored yet.
No.
Right.
No. So does that mean that Protector is now the repaint because this one is going to be the first one out?
And it's a wacky way of thinking, yes. Just like animated Rodimus, the original version is the clear one.
It's not even like it's a retool. I mean, this is like basically other than the Scythe add-on, it's essentially the same thing. It comes with the trailer, and it's just in the black color scheme for the dark-colored Rodimus figure.
And it's got some chrome stuff on it.
Oh, yay, chrome. Yes, give me some chill off in it. Thank you.
And if you're one of the five people who happens to own the Henke Wild Rider recolor of Rodimus, it could also be like Wild Rider Prime.
But,
which in itself is not a terrible idea.
Yeah. I'm just kind of weird. It's just kind of weird to me that they're... I don't know. Are they thinking like this is going to sell better than the Rodimus add-on?
Well, they're only making 400 of them.
Oh, so it's
a good reason.
How much are they? I didn't even look.
$95.
$99.
Well, how much was the Magnus one? That was like 120 or something.
No, that was only about 80.
Yeah, when it came out, it was 80.
They don't.
This one features better engineering, you guys.
Yeah, like it comes with another sticker.
Woo!
It might feature better engineering, but it's less in the spirit of the concept.
I'd rather have the Pokemon Scyther. I mean, it looks like
an add-on that makes Hot Rod into a Scyther.
Scyther, I choose you.
Hot Rod, here, have this stick.
It's a sword on a stick, or it's a scythe on a stick. You choose.
And a fishing rod, Dano.
We could fish with it. That would be excellent.
There is a certain awesome in a chain scythe.
Yeah, it's like a because it has like teeth. I don't know how many scythes have teeth, but
I also have a toy chainsaw sword around here. So I mean,
a chainsaw sword.
It's awesome.
Action figure, not like role play size. Well,
well, it should be role play size. Yeah. That'd be incredible.
We will steampunk anything.
I'm still debating how awesome a serrated scythe really is.
Oh man!
Already... Well, if you got to cut some watermelon, that's the way to go.
Giant watermelon.
Yep. Here we go.
You want to decapitate the whole watermelon in one fell swoop with jagged edges.
Who wants a slice, guys? We're cutting it long ways.
So, Cyber Missions 10 came out. Do people watch this? I don't watch
it. I did.
I watched episode 1. Where? That's it.
I think I watched that episode, decided it wasn't something that I was interested in.
I watched half of episode 1, and I said, this isn't worth it.
It makes a nice 5 minutes at work.
So, like, together, do they make sense, or...
Because every once in a while they link, but generally it's kind of just like new adventures of the guys that take like 5 minutes to tell. And this one was not the worst it could have been. Like Mind Wipe, well, Ratchet and Sideswipe. This is what's funny. They're towing Energon somewhere. Now, if you're going to be taking Energon somewhere, you know, Ratchet and Sideswipe, how do you think they're going to be taking it somewhere in secret? That's right. Ratchet has a wagon full of Energon cubes, and he's pulling it behind him in his truck mode up a mountain. I'm not joking. And Mindwipe and Starscream come flying in to come get this Energon, and Optimus is like, the mission's been compromised. You know, Decepticons found out you have the Energon, and no kidding, you're carrying it in a wagon.
You know, well, at least it wasn't Sideswipe carrying it, and that'd be pretty hilarious, because then there'd be like Energon cubes like strapped on the roof, because there's not enough roof inside the car.
Oh, Sideswipe does something amazing. See, so Starscream's telling Mindwipe to help him, because Starscream's going to use this Energon to take over Decepticons, because he's acting like Starscream for once. And Mindwipe starts doing his little hocus pocus to hypnotize Ratchet and Sideswipe, like, ooh, give me that crap. And Sideswipe breaks... Mind Wipe spell. Can you guess how? He turns on his radio and air guitars.
Wow.
Yes. And Mind Wipe's like, oh, geez, what's going on? He's like, we can do this.
You know what? I think each Cyber Missions video should be the new Twitter theater every time it comes out.
If they would come out on time, damn it, they would be. This might be like a special edition Twitter theater. Like, guys. Cyber Mission Weekday.
Yeah.
Nice. Cyber Mission Theater, hey.
So,
like, watch one of them.
It's interesting.
So, Brian, do you want to tell us about the contest we have going?
Yeah. We're giving away Transformers Animated Rodimus Minor. There you go. Good luck.
How do you win that?
I can win that, right?
No.
No.
Oh. No, there are restrictions. No one on this podcast is eligible. And you have to, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's TF Radio Network. I don't know why, but that's what it is, TF Radio Network. right now we have tfvideo.net pointing toward that, so at least for the time being of this contest, if you want to subscribe, just go to tfvideo.net and subscribe. Later on, we're going to be using that domain for a different purpose. We're going to repurpose it, but for right now, point straight to YouTube. So go subscribe. It's awesome.
How many subscribers do we have now?
Not enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's stopping you people?
I keep getting a lot of emails, so people are signing up. So
yes,
we do
that is true.
That.
Yep.
Yep.
Obviously, we need better prizes.
We need better videos. That's one of the reasons. I know where I'm putting the wagon before the horse, but I want to do more video. And I'm like, dang it, I do a video and it's like 50 people watch it, and it's like, I need more subscribers.
So we're filling up the audience before we actually put the show on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
I guess. Pulling a hub.
You basically subscribe to anticipate what will happen.
Yeah, Rob posts lots of stuff.
Yeah, this will be my next video, guys. I like these.
Then eat for a dollar.
I was buying them for their dollar. Now it's like, yay, Christmas time. Hey.
Yay.
If I'm broke this week, I can go to the dollar store. I got new toy boys. Look, it's him in robot mode. Ah.
Okay.
Right.
Awesome. There is a contest on...
T-Formers has a contest.
As well.
Yeah. Win a signed War for Cybertron Bumblebee mint and sealed card by Aaron Archer. And also a poster signed by the High Moon Studios team. And one lucky winner will win both. And I believe one guy will win one of them.
Do you have to be a guy?
What?
Or can it be a...
No, you know, you could be a female. You could be you could be a female. You could be a male. You could be a dog.
A dog?
As long as you provide a...
I love dog signing up.
As long as that dog can type his favorite quote, which character said that quote, and from what series or movie that quote is from.
Hmm. Well, supposedly dogs can call 911, so who knows?
Exactly. And if they use the text-to-speech token pirates.
Yes.
I'm going downstairs and entering this contest. Sammy!
Anybody on this podcast and staff of tformers.com cannot win.
And you're like both of those, Rob.
Can I?
The dog is not either.
I hereby resign. Right. No. Awesome. Well, that's great. So check that out as well.
You have until Sunday.
No. You have until Sunday. And this podcast should be up by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
We hope. For those listening live, though, you know now.
Yeah, do it now.
So, this week in Transformers history, I'll go ahead and do it since this is normally something I do. 2001 saw the American premiere of Robots in Disguise, also known as RID, Battle Protocol.
And it was the last time you saw it on American TV, too.
Yep.
No, actually, it did air again later.
Did it?
Once.
Huh. Wow.
You know, I remember watching the original Japanese version of this, that little itty-bitty, teeny-tiny real video that was posted to TFExtreme.com.
Yes.
I'm like, what on earth is this? It's not exactly what I expected. At that point, I don't think I'd actually watched much of Beast Wars 2nd or any of Beast Wars Neo, so I really didn't know what to expect, and I got it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you expected, that was not it.
Yes.
The anime store down the street from me gave me a bootleg copy of it. And I was like, well, those toys look so cool. What the hell am I watching?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a difficult time because I had spent all that money to buy the Japanese versions because, of course, this was not going to come out in the U.S.
Only a crazy person would think that.
Yeah, well,
at the time, it was pretty sane.
No. I'm saying only a crazy person would think that it would actually come out to the U.S.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. At the time,
now, everything is coming out. But at the time, like, none of the Beast Wars 2nd stuff was coming out. Nothing that was happening with Takara was coming out in the U.S. So we had every reason to believe that we would never see those figures over here.
You had to do that Hasbro shop to get them at a reasonable price, and that was what they had.
Then we had, what, Lyo Convoy and Galvatron?
Shadow Panther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Shadow Panther.
Yeah. I remember, like, the comic shop down the street from me, down the street from where I worked. Yeah, I was going to order some, and he asked me, do you think these will sell? And I thought for a second of how I could get these things cheap. Dude, they go like hotcakes online. So he ordered a bunch of medals and Beast Wars 2nd and Neo toys, and they sat until the store was moving to another location. And
I'll
he's
buy
like,
them for you.
Exactly.
$2 total.
Things. Yeah, it's like I got the Cheetor versus Waspinator set for like $12,
yes.
And like all the Insectrons for like $5 a piece, and they were. I was like, should I put these on eBay because they're still going pretty high? No, I pulled a fast one on the comic shop dude, and he had it coming.
That's awesome. I mean, that's sad for that comic book owner.
It was like a year later. I mean, Neo was still on, and he was giving up on them already. Like, no one's buying this crap. And I'm like, they go for a lot online. He's like, but to who? People like me.
You've been robbed.
Exactly. About the car robots thing. What? One of the people who ended up, I guess you could say, predicting it would end up coming out here was Desi, who also, a little while before that, correctly predicted the Neo Dinobots would come out in Beast Machines.
Deathy is right about a lot of things.
Did he predict that it would be a Target exclusive, though?
Yeah.
That what would be Target exclusive?
The Dinobots.
Magmatron.
Oh, the Magmatron.
He was partially right.
He might be a psychic.
Yeah.
Or maybe from the future.
Yeah, and he knows a lot about history.
Right. He's
from the future.
That's my status on the I Am client at work. I am from the future and know a lot about history.
We saw.
Yeah. Wait, what was your quote?
It's from an old fanfic from like 98, 99. I'm from the future and know a lot about history.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everything you say is from fanfics.
Basically, yes.
You were tripping me up on our way to BotCon saying stuff, and I was like, oh, really? Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
1954, Jeffrey Combs was born, so congratulations.
Yes, I love Jeffrey Combs. He's my hero.
And he got a new job.
Hey.
Yay!
I love that dude. He's a fantastic actor. And I, of course, am geeking out because I loved him in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and even in Enterprise, but especially DS9.
And
in Justice League. No. He was most awesome in DS9 as Weyoun.
Guys.
No, but he's like the perfect question.
He was an awesome question, I do admit.
Yeah.
He was the reanimator. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that too. That's a very valid point, Rob.
All that matters.
Very nice.
Thespian.
Both Beyond and Reanimator, but not three. No one cared about that one.
Oh.
Well, it is that time. Once again, we
break forth the rhythm and the rhyme.
We will bring on our new segment, which is the TF Wiki Spotlight, featuring none other than Chris McFeely.
Yes.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the original geek podcast.
All right, it's time once again for our TF Wiki Spotlight, presented by Chris McFeely. Chris, so tell us, what is the spotlight for this month, I guess?
Well, this month's featured article is the one I'm going to talk about because it's featured for a reason. And we'll cover the spotlight of the featured article for the month at the start of the month, and then we'll talk about more obscure things later on in future spotlights. But this month's spotlight is the Hot Rod article, G1 Hot Rod, that is. And it's a big article that we have just put a lot of work into to expand it up to featured status. It was one of those ones where work just sort of slowly built up on it. And it was like, hey, wait a minute, this thing is nearly in a state that you could consider being done. And a bit of brute force work later, and it's a massively expansive article. As you might expect, this is a... Because of the way the wiki works, this is a characters article, so this includes everything about Rodimus Prime as well. It's not just limited to his activities as Hot Rod. So you've basically got an entirety of this third season of the cartoon, his Kiss Players, all of his manga stuff, the Headmasters cartoon, his return in the Battlestars, an expansive coverage of his Marvel Comics work, and particularly his activities in the UK comics, where of course they had their whole future story arcs that Rodimus Prime played a big role in, and everything from pack-in flyers to storybooks to super deformed mangas to right up until IDW's comics as well, and beyond. Including video games and lots of really nifty character model trivia and studies of his transformations and trivia about voice. There's a lot of interesting trivia on the designs of Hot Rod and how his colors and schemes have varied over the years. And it's all terribly timely with Masterpiece Rodimus coming up very soon, too. For my money, I majorly contributed to the toy page, toy and merchandise page, but I was doing this before the drive to make it featured happened. It was just something I decided to do one day. And yeah, that's pretty damn huge. although I'm sure Proto Man can correct me if there are toys and figures missing from this, which I wouldn't be surprised to learn that there were. You know, he's got every one of his major toys released up to the Masterpiece. And then the Japanese really like making little figures of Hot Rod and Rodimus. Everything from chewing gum model kits to his exclusive decoy to a talking figure with a pull string in it, to unreleased model kits and PVCs of all shapes and sizes.
Wow. Does it make him an interesting character, or is he still
that
kind of
is up
crap?
To the reader to decide.
No, well, I'm looking through it now. This is literally a huge article, so you should definitely go out to the...
it is so huge that the toys are, again, like Unicron, split off onto their own sub-page.
So, wow. I mean, is this... How you know. This is
I didn't
expensive.
Do a lot with the actual fiction write-ups, although I did write the Kiss Player section.
A very important section of any TFWiki entry.
I am perhaps the only editor brave enough to have done these things. You'll find that most articles related to Kiss Players are done in full and annotated right down to the last radio drama, which is the result of my twisted effort. But I also wrote up some of his video game roles as well, and I worked a little Echo Warrior reference in there as well.
Nice. Excellent. So go out, check out TFWiki. Check out the entry, featured article this month for Hot Rod. Thanks, Chris.
tfwiki.net/wiki/hotrod_g1 if you don't want to click more than once.
You're listening to the FigureReviews.com review of Generations Dark Mount. Dark Mount is awesome. Thanks for listening. What? Isn't that good enough? Okay, fine. Maybe I can elaborate a little. Should I start with that it's amazing the toy exists in the first place? I mean, who honestly expected a toy of Strax's to be made, like, ever? The vehicle mode isn't entirely removed from the comic's original. Though it's a half-track instead of a flying thing, both vehicles carry out the same goal of being a mobile platform for a huge gun. Dark Mount's cannon can elevate within around a 45-degree range, while the turret can rotate without limit. The vehicle mode does little else, but it's really a benefit. Everything holds together very solidly, which is much appreciated, especially after recent experiences with slightly less locked-down vehicle forms. Dark Mount has a documented third mode, which is ignored entirely on the packaging. Probably a wise move. It consists of nothing more than forming a sort of tripod from the body panels of the vehicle mode and turning the turret around. This is a battle station? Transformation to robot is a little more involved, although not irritatingly so. The only possible problem will be figuring out the right way to get the arms to clear the tank side panels. The robot mode is where this toy shines, though. Dark Mount has the typical standard articulation you might expect, but it also has a few tricks all its own. The arms, for one thing, have a very interesting variation of the double-hinged elbow, with one of the hinges facing sideways. This might possibly be my favorite innovation ever. In a single move, it permits the toy's hands to meet in the middle of its chest. It also, with a little creative application, basically eliminates the need for a forearm swivel. With a little bit of fine-tuning, this sort of elbow arrangement will be an excellent development that really needs to reappear on more figures in the future. I'm similarly pleased with the hands, which combine 5mm peg compatibility with the versatility of posable fingers. Previously, the two concepts had been mutually exclusive, but finally they've combined to a fantastic effect, and Dark Mount is able to hold a wide array of objects that would otherwise be impossible. I also like the wrist ball joints that are practically hidden from view at all times, yet still provide an excellent range of motion. Now, the legs are fairly average, except for the ankles, which are kind of weird. They're designed as a ball and socket joint, but the construction is a bit bizarre, and the ultimate result is the joint functioning more like a swivel than a true ball joint. I would be very careful about trying to force them to work as ball joints. The strip of plastic the joints are attached to is of a certain thickness, but probably would still snap under enough pressure going the wrong way. It's not going to be a problem for using it as it's intended, as a swivel joint, and it can bear the weight of the figure just fine, but if you try to force it to have any sideways motion, I would be concerned. Besides, even if you could use that ball joint like that, the ankles would pivot the wrong direction for posing with. So I'm pretty certain in my assessment that they're just doing this as a quicker, easier form of a swivel joint. Darkmount's main gimmick is being compatible with the Recon Ironhide-style clip-on weapons. I believe this may even be the first toy to support that feature, which has not been branded or styled after the movie. Darkmount comes with three of these kind of weapons that can clip onto any of several points in either of his modes, although certain points work better in certain modes than others. I'm a little worried about the missile launcher that Darkmount comes with. Of the three weapons, it has the thinnest-sided socket, and mine has stress marks on it already. I could see this breaking without too much trouble if accidentally pushed the wrong way. Darkmount's axe is two pieces and can be taken apart, but I don't think it's really necessary at any point. All of its functions can be performed while the two parts are joined, because it's basically just a matter of swiveling the crossbar on top one way or the other, depending where it's going in which mode. The pointed ends of the axe are made of rubbery plastic for obvious safety reasons, and on top of that are even hinged, so the points can fold inward. While this is used for transformation, I imagine it's also a little extra safety step as well. The shaft and the crossbar on the pickaxe are a very rigid plastic, which makes me pretty thankful for the articulated hands at this point. Finally, Darkmount's head is the very image of Straxus, if a bit scaled back. The important part is still there, the mask-like face with no mouth at all. But the shape and size of the head has been reduced, most likely to let it fit within the available torso cavity. Straxus always was a large-headed fellow. In short, I couldn't have asked for more with this toy. The character representation is awesome in itself. I'm amazed that it comes with a toy that's so excellent. I've mentioned a couple of negative points in the last few minutes, but don't let it make you think that the overall experience of Darkmount is anything less than fully enjoyable. It's a definite must-buy, and probably its recolor as well. Please check out figurereviews.com for an in-depth review of this and many other toys, plus galleries full of high-quality photos. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Figure Reviewers. Thanks for listening.
This is Gary Chalk, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
So apparently yesterday or over the weekend, XV was driving around with a banjo.
Where's Darkmount? I can't find him. Boom, boom, boom.
Trying to find Darkmount. And
you know what I did yesterday? I went 5 Targets, 2 Toys R Us, and a Walmart before I found Darkmount.
But
wow.
You found,
so you found
him,
it
right?
At the Walmart?
Wow.
That's
but you did find it.
No, I actually found it at the Target, but I wanted to go in order from greatest to least visits.
So
but
did you like
a Darkmount for $10 too? So.
But more,
how many super pretzels did you go through on that trip?
but the more important thing was that you had a fabulous idea for something that we are going to talk about today.
That's right.
Which is how did Beast Wars change Transformers?
Well, see, that's just Kilby's bad interpretation of what I said. I originally envisioned it as being more like, what did Beast Wars do for Transformers?
Yeah, I can see that, and I think that's in the same line. I'll go with that.
Took my baby.
They took my baby. All right. Well, thanks everybody. This has been no. So yeah, what did they do?
A lot of stuff. Truck, not monkey.
Truck, not monkey.
Optimus is a truck and not a stupid monkey.
Which,
you know,
is
what
Beast Wars crap?
All, it proved to us that we could have a Transformers cartoon that was actually good fiction.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, I think it Yeah, I mean, it definitely elevated the fiction because, I mean, as far as from a storyline, maybe not so much season one, maybe a little bit, but definitely going into season two and season three. And they I mean, that series, if you think about it, that series established a lot of things that we consider to be common mythos today, like Sparks.
And protoforms.
Right. And, yes, protoforms.
And the Transformers Afterlife.
Yeah.
And the Spark.
Yeah, I mean, those are things that it's like we have now, that's just accepted to be a part of the Transformers world, that those are just things that happen. But it wasn't that way before Beast Wars. Before Beast Wars, before the episode, really, the Spark, that it was just a confused bit of, you know, they're living machines, they're sort of alive. The
possibly
comic
descended
and,
from naturally occurring gears.
Yes.
Thank you, Bob Bitsky. But he'll never live that down for you, will he, XV? That's
it's just awesome, that's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, before Beast Wars established Sparks and their relation to Transformers life, the closest thing we had in G1 outside of the dialogue of a laser core was the little pink glowing boxes that they called personality components,
mm-hmm.
which I think only existed in one episode anyway.
Yeah, the Ninjika episode or whatever.
Combaticons, right?
Yeah.
Combaticons. Okay.
Yep.
I got one of those right here. Oh wait, it's allergy medicine.
I got some of that too.
And I mean, and there was a little bit. They sort of tried to cover it in the comic, but even that didn't really establish a cohesive.
Yeah,
right.
Beast Wars really formed it.
The whole idea of the nature of Transformers life was very vague and muddy before Beast Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because you had like, I mean, they had to go back and because Budinski had written about the creation matrix, but then they went back and said, well, there's the creation matrix and there's the matrix of leadership, but you can also Primus can do stuff too, and then there's the budding. So it was really muddy and didn't coalesce into any sort of consistent concept. Not that stuck anyway. But beyond that, what about? So from maybe like the toy standpoint, I think that did something.
Oh. Well.
Okay, I think one thing that Beast Wars did with the toys. Is I know G2 is starting to do this a little bit, but Beast Wars really gave us distinct set size and price points for the Transformers,
mm-hmm.
and really narrowed it together. G2 might have had a lot of stuff that was basically the same price, but it was still all over the map.
Not to mention Beast Wars and G2 was doing this too toward the tail end. The containing of the weapons in alternate mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a big, big advancement in my opinion.
Well, in all, they got more, there's more imagination in a Transformer. I mean, we curse Shellformers now, but that's kind of where it came from. And a lot of what we take for granted now kind of came from Beast Wars with the more getting inventive with the crazy transformations and whatnot. I mean, we had a tiger's butt for a shoulder, but stuff like that.
I mean, most of those figures were still, especially for the four-legged beasts, it was pretty much they stand up on their hind legs and their front, you know, legs are somewhere in the arm range and the head is somehow based off of the animal head. But I think you're right in terms of at least articulation and design. They were definitely a jump up off of the stuff that we were seeing out of even G1 or G2. So not so much G2 because G2, it's really like cyber jets were moving into a more articulate. But I mean, some of the figures that we started to get, especially like Wave 3 or 4,
yeah, year out of 2 Beast Wars really started to get to roll along better with how the things transformed. Mm-hmm. You know, they were really expanding and experimenting more with how to get from one place to the next and not going like directly limb to limb transformations.
And let's not forget they looked pretty close to the show in terms of coloring and design and transformation schemes and everything. So
I think that has everything to do though with Mainframe and not as much.
Right. The toy designs came before the show models were finalized. Right.
Right. But I still think that regardless of which one came first, the chicken or the egg, I mean, just the fact that the way it the way it worked out made it, you seem so much closer to the actual, like you are actually, you know, watching them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get what you're saying. There's nowhere near the gulf between the toy and media visions of the characters like there was with G1.
Yeah, you don't have like Ratchet and Ironhide, you know, differences from G1.
Which did have them really hiding annoying kibble that you didn't see coming till you got the toy. Like legs hanging off a forearm.
Yeah, like Cheetor, for example, the season one Cheetor, where you have like, you know, the show, they're just like crossed over the back, and you know, it doesn't look like that big of a deal. And then you get the figure, and there's these enormous legs hanging off of the back of the thing.
And his gun looked like a water squirt gun or something like that.
He had two guns. The belly turned into a gun, which actually had guts.
It was really gross.
That was awesome. Makes me want to get like some brown water to put in Shadow Panthers.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is they weren't afraid to at least experiment a little bit. I mean, there was a couple of figures that had the water shooting gimmick. I mean, I know Cheetor did.
Ultra Megatron did.
Yeah.
Megatron, obviously.
Well, yeah. It was the same mold, but yeah.
Exactly. Moving along farther in, Quickstrike had one of those, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. He did. Yeah, it was kind of a throwaway feature by that point.
One thing was kind of complained about at the time, but even with the people who liked it, but if it wasn't for that, a lot of us would have been much more turned off at the way the faces looked in the movie toys. And I'm talking about chewed caramel heads.
Chewed caramel heads.
That's not the first time I've heard that description.
Like the mutant head that...
Well, you know, GCS had those crazy robot heads with, like, weird-looking proportions and all that. People were like, well, that's just, you know, not the mutant heads, just when they got really weird-looking. And it was like,
starting with the second year's worth of toys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get a movie toy, and you're like,
okay. I've seen
worse. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, and we did also see, I mean, one major thing is we did see the introduction of consistent female characters and female figures, which I thought was a big jump ahead. Because that
very much so.
I mean, we had RC in the original series, but they never had the guts to actually turn that into a figure. And not only did they do that in Beast Wars, but they did it with a vengeance, because not only did you have the original deluxe Black Arachnia, but then you also had the Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia.
And Air-Razor and Transmetal Air-Razor.
And Air-Razor, Transmetal Air-Razor as well. Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, Beast Machine took it even further with that Botanica figure. Wait, never mind.
Oh, snap.
You know, being a female was okay, but being a plant female, that was just a little too much.
You bet she wasn't pink.
Yeah. Remember those handful of people who swore up and down the Night Viper toy was going to be Botanica? I remember
It was more like... they swore up and down that Botanica was going to be the Night Viper toy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But getting back into Beast Wars, I think... but they definitely... thematically, I thought they went to some different places, too. I mean, originally, at least into G1, especially going into the end of G1, most of the figures were based on a gimmick, whereas going into Beast Wars, it was actually more around a theme. So they went with the Transmetals and then the Transmetal 2s, so that they were able to keep the animal forms, but it wasn't as, say, gimmicky as it was towards like the end of G1.
And right. At the same time, they were able to use that process to keep some of the important characters refreshed in each new assortment,
i.e. get you buy more stuff.
Well, of course. Another thing, too, Beast Wars, I think, kind of also changed the way we perceive how a Transformers series can be done, like, in terms of how the cast is laid out and the settings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, G1 was all about getting as many toys as possible onto the screen, even if it was only for 5 minutes.
Right. You know,
And Beastmasters went with the tiny little cast, which was like the best thing ever.
I think from a fiction standpoint, absolutely. And I think that was the nature of the beast. And, you know, thinking back, that was probably...
Nature of the beast.
That was unintended. But good, nonetheless. I think, I mean, it was sort of, that was the devil that they chose, because they wanted to, go with the CGI series and make it look really futuristic, and great, they did that, but because of that, they had to deal with a limited cast, and so I think for that reason, the fiction was propelled forward, but on the downside, yeah, I mean, that meant, at least from Hasbro's standpoint, they weren't able to pump out as many figures into the show, which may, I don't know, that may have hurt sales, but I don't think so. I think they had become so popular by that point, people were buying whatever.
You know, they seem to sell pretty well as is. I mean, you had Beast Wars toys get put along Beast Machines toys, and they still sold pretty good, so
yeah,
maybe not to an extreme, but it had to hurt at least a little. I mean, how often do you see Sonar on clearance as compared to Quick Strike?
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know,
how many Genesis are there?
There were some great figures that came out of that too. I mean, Ramulus is freaking excellent, but
yes.
You know, but didn't get any showtime. And there also wasn't, that was another thing they did, is they had no comic support. They just went with TV series support for the series that, you know, they didn't really go with any comic book series. That didn't happen until way later. But I think moving maybe the conversation on a little bit, I think probably the lasting, the largest, the most prolific effect maybe that Beast Wars had nothing to do with Hasbro or the show or anything. It had to do with the fandom itself.
Why? That's a nice way of putting it, JD. You mindless sheep.
I mean, you know, and I have to say, like, for myself, I came in, you know, right after what was dubbed the Great Flame Wars, and you know,
too.
Like,
same
after
here.
After Raksha had basically cleaned house and took all of her minions with her and moved
the
off.
Government done took Raksha's brain.
So, but I don't know. I think for one, it opened it back up to a lot of people. I think Beast Wars coming out, being at least, even if it was peripherally a successful series, I think it got a lot of people back into Transformers that were fans and just sort of hanging out. And then as far as the fandom, I mean, that's far reaching. I mean,
man, remember how different it was then as opposed to now? And I'm not just talking about size and websites and all that, just the way fans would express their fanhood and stuff. I mean, it was just... Mm-hmm. Night and day, like, it was almost like a little hippie commune of dorks with robot toys. Like, look what I made, Soundwave necklaces.
Dude, Etsy. It's still that
Etsy's
way.
Etsy's still, yeah, but yeah. It's like a little different. You don't see, like, someone walking into BotCon. It's like, what are you wearing? I made a suit of drawings of silver bolts. and you're like, and you look good, sir. I know. Look at my Time Warrior. Click.
But I think that, I mean, Beast Wars, I think, was timed just right to come in just as the internet was starting to take off with more people. I mean, it was right at that time that, you know, AOL and other providers were coming in. I know there were some groups on AOL as well as Usenet, and they were really able to tap into the interest of the fandom. And I think that's, you know, obviously, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too hard, but I think that as the fandom, we've been a large part of keeping it going after Beast Wars and keeping that interest going. I mean, just as far as, look at how big BotCon has gotten, look at how Jeez. Far those have taken off. And BotCon was around before Beast Wars, so, you know, Beast Wars brought a lot of people in for that too.
Look how many people now go to BotCon.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah. People don't know.
If you want to see just a defining moment of how much things have changed from Beast Wars onward, go to archive.com and put in transformers.com.
Yeah.
Look at it about 2000. Yeah, it's like the whole site was nothing but a wave of Beast Wars toys with pictures. Mm-hmm. And it was like, dude, transformers.com has new pictures on it. Everyone's on there.
Yep.
And that was back when all you had was that kind of stuff, right? There's nothing fancy.
You'd watch Beast Machine on a little real media file, like 2 inches tall, and you were damn happy for it. And yes. Everyone in here remembers doing
this.
Like,
that's how you had to watch these.
Just on the side of the Skype video window here, too.
Yeah.
The Skype video is bigger.
And it was grainy. It was like Sega CD on
or
a bad
like Weebum over here.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Weebum's like high def compared to how that.
I know.
It is. I mean, our resolution. I was like rocking an 800x600 resolution. Now I'm rocking 1920x1080, and that's like average now.
Yeah, I was at 640x480 on that computer back then.
Wow.
I know.
I think we'll kind of wrap this up. But I mean, obviously, we're just scratching the surface. I mean. Basically, there is a dividing line as far as Transformers goes. There is pre-Beast Wars and there is post-Beast Wars. Mm-hmm. And that distinction, I would argue that even some of us who are fans of Transformers, we're not going to be that dedicated G1 only people. And there's still very few of those people out there.
Yeah.
Rockship. But other than that, there's the rest of us who still base our vision, even if we're preferencing G1, there's still a large part of our vision that's molded and shaped by the things that happen in Beast Wars, toy-wise, fiction-wise, and fandom-wise. So
yeah, I mean, the thing that occurred to me that made me think this would be a great topic to talk about is that so much fiction afterward has just latched onto what was introduced in Beast Wars, which at the time the writers had no idea they were coming up with anything more than plot devices for a particular episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just great to me how so much of that was so interesting and creative that it got picked up later on and it's become just a complete part of the fiction. You can't go anywhere without running into like Stasis Lock and Sparks and Matrixes / All Sparks.
Yeah, I mean, even in a completely G1 setting, those elements show up. Absolutely.
Have they revisited at any point the Vok? The Vok, have they?
I've
not read Vok comics.
Yeah, they better.
They need to.
Imagine that in a movie verse, just popping up, you know. And you're like, blah, 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 blah.
See, that wouldn't make any sense. I mean, talking aliens, that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
It's okay. They talk through the radio in Spike's moped.
through the crystal radio setup in Spike's Billings, or Sam's Billings.
We're getting into Gilligan's Island Bunch right now, and I like the way you're going.
All right, so speaking of moving from Beast Wars to Beast Machines, tell us about Twitter Theater, Rob.
This week's Twitter Theater was hard for me to pick a video because I had so many wonderful ideas. And, you know, I decided, I haven't posted any Beast Machines commercials. And not too many people remember how whacked out Beast Machines commercials are.
I think I do remember those.
Fantastic.
When Transformers had to compete with Pokemon and they didn't hide it whatsoever. You know, some kid's getting bullied by some other kid. Let's duel! And they pull out their Transformers and transform them faster than the other one. And then, like, Jetfire shooting with his lightning attack. He didn't have, like, what?
He had lights. He made noises.
Yeah, but it's light. He's got the power of lightning.
Look, for me, it was, do I do acid or watch a Beast Machines commercial? Acid.
I was in college at the time. For me, it was both.
Yeah.
And some people, it still is. But this particular commercial was for Ultra Jetstorm and Night Scream. And the commercial is about as cute as it can be, all jokes aside. The kid's at the counter of a cafeteria, asks for extra large fries. No, I'm sorry. The lady goes, extra large fries, and that's mine. And the bully's like, no, those are mine. And they go, it's a battle. And they pop back to, he's like, the bad guy has Ultra Jet Storm. He's like, Jet Storm with a lightning. And he's like, I got Night Scream. You get back to the line, kid.
I'd be like, yeah. Like, I got Night Scream. Night Scream.
You're not going to win anything with Night Scream, buddy.
And
I think the greatest is when they're transforming it, it says fast motion, just in case you don't know.
You didn't know that you couldn't transform it that fast.
Your hands may not move this fast in real life.
They have
But there's only one part of this commercial that anybody needs to know, which is that Night Scream likes extra ketchup.
Yes. I like their little missile battle, and then Night Scream misses completely, and the guy goes, oh. Night Scream's missile does this. It just like drops straight down.
Yeah. I think Night Scream sparkles.
I was quite happy with my Night Scream toy when I got them. I was just like, man, I like this toy. I'm not going to watch the cartoon and think about it, though.
Yeah.
Just like
that
my
Jetstorm figure. That Jetstorm was a pretty sweet mold, too.
Man.
It was right up until the shiny plastic started bubbling and cracking off.
Exactly.
I didn't have that issue. Although I thought it was kind of weird that he had legs in the toy version. I was like, wait a minute. He doesn't have legs in the show.
You know, Noel, you could turn him into like the floating thing.
Yeah, you could. Obviously, you couldn't pose the guy.
This commercial is a great example of how confusing it had to be for children to figure out Beast Machines. Because one, you've got a cartoon that was kind of difficult for most of your children to understand with the attention span of cereal, bathroom, potty, watch cartoon. It was kind of a hard, complex cartoon. Then the toys, they don't understand why the toys don't exactly look like the cartoon model is. And I guess that's him. And here's the commercials. We're dueling.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, exactly. These poor kids. And, you know, I'm like at the toy store and you see them. The Fox Kids colors. I know what these are. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Now I want to clear on one thing here, Rob. Were you suggesting bathroom and potty is two separate functions?
Depending on where you live. Ever watch Hoarders XV?
I try not to.
I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'm pretty sure one of us is going to be on there before long. Yeah, my toy. Poof over there.
All right, well, I think that's about it for us, isn't it?
All right, so thanks for joining us on Radio Free Cybertron. Please go to the website, tfradio.net. You're going to find out everything about this show and all of the other shows that are part of the TF Radio Network.
See, that's why the YouTube channel is called that.
We've got a lot.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We tried to rebrand ourselves. It's not just Radio Free Cybertron, which that's all anyone cares about. It's like, we're doing a weight loss podcast. Well, is it a weight loss Transformers podcast? No.
It's just a weight loss podcast. It's on for everybody. EF Radio Network.
And of course,
Transformers usually don't eat to lose weight.
And we've got Soundwave, which is the podcast that can't decide what the hell it is.
Yeah.
It's gaming. It's gaming. I like the
game. It's gaming, buddy.
I like the gaming. Game.
I'm not on that show very much, but I enjoy listening to it. I listen to it every week, so you should too. Anyway, go check out all the shows there. There's a ton. And also, again, we've got the contest going on both at T-Formers and our contest here at RFC, so please go check those out.
And the weight loss podcast, let people know about that, Judy.
Okay, real quick. I'll cover that real quick. So, Brian and I have started a brand new show because we thought to ourselves, hey, we have a smidgen of free time left. Let's blow that away.
Yeah.
So we have a new show. I'm liking the title Get the Skinny, I think. So I think we're going to go with that unless Brian objects.
I like it. Kim thinks it's kind of lame, but I like it.
I think it'll stick. So I like it too. It fills a purpose again. So basically part of the show is Brian and I attempting to lose weight, so we're going to be checking in with our weight and talking about our weight loss progress. But we're also going to be talking about latest news and information as far as weight loss science, weight loss information, trying to disseminate the good science or the good weight loss techniques and science from the bad stuff. So we'll be talking about that and as we go through our weight loss journey. I think we're doing that video as well.
Yeah, we're doing it right after we record Fanboy Versus on Sundays.
There you go. So if you listen to Fanboy Versus, which you should because it's got Christmas feely, and maybe someday Melissa. and that's an inside joke. Anyway, we do that after, so please hang around for that. And Brian and I, again, will be talking about our weight loss progress. So we have a pilot that's out there.
It's on Ustream, yeah. We don't have it as a podcast yet.
No, it's just a pilot. So we'll probably be doing the first, I guess, official episode, full format and everything.
Yeah, speaking of, the reason I was late this today is because I had to, I was running late from dinner. I was at the local pizza buffet where they had wings on the buffet on Wednesdays. So, yes, I'm preparing for the weight loss podcast Sunday.
Nice. That's good work, sir.
Thank you.
But hey, I ate salad for the last 2 days for lunch, so there you go.
Did it have like a bucket of Thousand Island on it?
No, it didn't, sir. I did not drown it in salad dressing. I did use a little bit, but a portioned amount, so it was not as bad. So anyway, there you go. I'm sure everybody's excited now. It's really going to be a good show, though. I mean, we're definitely going to be – it'll be entertaining and fun. It's not just going to be two fat guys talking about losing weight. So.
There may be other fat people on it, too.
Yeah, we'll probably be bringing other people on as well. And if you would like to join us on our weight loss journey as well, that would be excellent. And we may talk about your progress as well if you wanted to send in information. Anyway, so email us for this show.
Weebum was wanting to say something before Weebum. I jumped over top him.
No worries. If you guys by any chance have a question that you wanted to ask Hasbro, we are currently looking for question submissions for the burning question. Just head over to tformas.com and look it up. And
we are waiting.
Excellent.
It's the devil.
Nice. And we are looking.
I thought that was Megatron.
Up until this Sunday again.
Nice.
I'm tired.
Definitely
now.
Good to do that. Hopefully this podcast will be up before then.
It better be.
Anyway, sorry. It'll be up. All right. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, everybody here, for joining us. For RFC, this is JD, and see you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, JD Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.